Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And we started a conversation on our last episode. We started talking about, or we were going to talk about the Cruiserweight Classic, which the finals of that were last night, September 14th. We're recording this on September the 15th. I don't know when you're listening to this. Mark did not watch the show last night. I did. I just wanted to share some thoughts on that and then talk about another topic that we touched on. So last night, if you didn't watch it, you had TJ Perkins going against Kota Ibushi in one of the semifinals, and you had Zack Sabre Jr. against Grand Malik. I don't know how to say his name.
Metallic, is it?
Something like that. The Mexican wrestler. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the world, everybody on Facebook, everybody's thinking, well, it's going to be Sabre and Ibushi. Uh-huh. That's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. As these matches, the Sabre match was at first, Sabre and Grand Malik.
I love to hear you butcher foreign tongues.
That it started off fast. It was a different kind of match that I have not seen maybe ever in that. There was high flying, but they just traded submissions for about 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. Just submissions back and forth. It was different. It was very good. And spoiler alert. It occurred to me toward the end of this match, I'm thinking, Zack Sabre Jr. is going to regret not signing that contract because he didn't win.
Right.
And Facebook lost their minds. They're like, oh, I can't believe the politics. Like, politics? You got one guy who did sign with you and one guy who didn't sign with you. Like, hey, politics, business.
That's business, yeah.
As soon as I watched that match and I said, man, I've got to add that match into my canister of match of the year candidates. Uh-huh. Same thing with Ibushi and TJ Perkins. Every time people think, man, WWE, they don't get it anymore. Let me tell you, if you don't think they got it, you need to go back, watch this tournament, and you need to watch how they booked TJ Perkins. It was one of the best booking jobs I have seen from WWE in a long time. You talk about a guy who's an underdog. When they announced this, when they announced the tournament, and you see these 32 guys, you're thinking TJ Perkins, who wrestled as Suicide and Manic in TNA. You're thinking, that's a guy that's going out in the first round.
Uh-huh.
And the people that he beat, he had like the toughest job to get to the finals. He's facing Ibushi. Everybody and their mom knows Ibushi's going to win this whole tournament.
Right. At the very beginning, everybody was saying, well, this is set up for Ibushi.
Set up for Ibushi. Ibushi didn't sign that WWE contract. And he and TJ Perkins, it wasn't a bunch of, when you think Cruiserweight, you think in flips and all, but it wasn't about that. It was about two guys beat the crap out of it. I mean, these two guys beat the crap out of each other.
Right.
And so you had two great semifinal matches. Then you had a good tag team match. And then it's TJ Perkins and Grand Malik.
The Luchador.
The Luchador, thank you, in the finals. And just some good booking. He worked the leg. TJ Perkins worked the leg. He's trying to set up for this knee bar deal. And there was one point in the match I thought, man, he's not selling the knee. And then within a second, he was selling the knee great. I say all that because I went into both of these matches thinking, well, there's going to be a bunch of false finishes. And there were, okay? But a lot of the false finishes were submission type false finishes. So what I wanted to ask you about is, and spoiler alert again, they have, and I think we kind of knew this was coming once the cruiserweight division was announced for Raw is they have added a cruiserweight title. Mm-hmm. So TJ Perkins wins the tournament, which I hope they do every year. And he's also the new cruiserweight champion. The belt is purple. The belt looks different from all the other belts. But one of the great things about booking on Raw, you in our last episode, you mentioned the Attitude Era. And people think it was about the cussing and the nudity and all that. In the Attitude Era, everybody had a storyline. And they're getting back to that. In that every match, there's something, there's a reason for this match.
Right.
And I think the way they're using the titles now are great. But let's talk about individual matches and the false finish, okay? Laying out a show, a wrestling card, if you know you're going to have one match that's going to have a bunch of false finishes, then you try not to do some in the others. But I just want to get your overall opinion on false finishes and the use of them in today's wrestling product.
I'm not, Eric, I don't think every match should do it. I'm a firm believer that the first match on the card, really, nobody should go for a pinfall until the pinfall. That's just my opinion. Right. I've always thought the first match shouldn't come off the top rope. You shouldn't use a... I'm talking about, I'm not, there's a difference between an opening match it's tough, man. I mean, it really is tough nowadays to tell these. Because, you know, when they do indie, that match is their highlight reel for the week that helps get them jobs. So it's hard to tell guys don't do what you know how to do.
Right.
But, I mean, just in the opening match, I don't think you should do that kind of stuff. I don't even know the first three matches. I'm not saying you can't have a couple of two counts.
Right.
There's a difference between a two count and a false finish, I think.
Yes.
I mean, just a two count is the guy's down, I'm going for a move. I mean, I would consider a false finish somebody hits a finisher. I mean, somebody hits a huge move, and you do a dramatic pin, and you do a one. To, you know, and everybody thinks, well, this could be, you put somebody through a table or something like that, and you don't, like, that to me would be a false finish. I don't know what makes a perfect one. I think nobody for a while did it, and still may not do them better than the Japanese do them. I can just tell there's a difference between a two count and a false finish.
Yes.
And when you watch Japanese wrestling, you can tell the difference.
Yes. Red shoes is great.
Yes. It's hard to explain the difference, but you can tell. I know the difference when I see it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some of this stuff's hard to explain.
Yeah.
You either get the psychology of it or you don't.
Right.
And you can't make somebody understand wrestling psychology if they don't understand it.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is like the biggest non-answer that I can give.
No. For me, the thing, if you want to go out with a not an indie wrestling crowd, but a smart crowd, a smart mark crowd, the quickest way to get a This Is Awesome chant is go out and do three false finishes in a row.
Right.
You are guaranteed. You go to Full Sail. If you and I went to Full Sail University tonight and had a match, and we did three false finishes in a minute, we would get a This Is Awesome chant, even if we sucked. And so I guess that's kind of what I wanted to talk about is what is it about the false finish that has so enamored the wrestling fan today? Because I don't remember growing up with a lot of false finishes. I remember we've talked about watching the Jim Cornette footage, how finishes came out of nowhere. Right. And you mentioned there wasn't a pinfall till the pinfall.
Right.
I'm just curious.
I always go back to the match that I remember.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's the first match. I'm just saying the match that I remember is Savage and Steamboat from WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Where most of those pinfalls, you thought, this is it.
Yeah.
This is the end of the match. Like, that's the one that I always kind of go back to. And that's a great match. I mean, it's a good, it's a tight match. There's not a lot of holes in that match.
One thing,
it stood the test of time.
Right.
I think.
One thing about that match, and that match gained a lot of notoriety on the reporting of that match. Yeah. And one thing I remember as a wrestling fan reading about that match is that they said, man, there were 15 two counts in this match. And I just was like, why does that matter that there were 15? I mean, now I understand.
Right.
They were saying, man, there were 15 times in this match you thought it was going to be over.
To me, you can go back and you watch Kobashi and Misawa and those guys, Kenta Kobashi and Mitsuhiro Misawa, just about face anybody if you want to see some good false finishes. Because they hit everybody else's finish.
Right.
Basically, and would hit the other guy's finish, but they didn't hit their finish.
Yeah.
That's I don't like. Still to this day, John Cena and Randy Orton.
Right.
As good a matches as those two would have together, John Cena hitting the F5 or the attitude adjustment like six times.
Yeah.
And Randy Orton hitting six RKOs. And to me, that's not good. That's lazy.
Yeah.
Now, Cena's got better.
Yes.
At that, where now it's not a bunch of attitude adjustments. It's a bunch of different big moves that he does. And that's good. I'm glad he's kind of made that improvement.
Right.
But I thought they did not do false finishes very well. As good as everybody else thinks their matches were.
See, I think if Cena had done an RKO.
Yeah.
I think that would have been, I think, I think that there's a great way to do it. I don't think you should do false finishes just for the sake of doing false finishes. And I feel like I get that a lot. I feel like when I go to a show.
There again with Cena and Orton, when I would watch them, when I saw the first RKO or the first attitude adjustment, I knew that for the next 10 minutes, that's all I was going to see.
Yeah.
RKO, attitude adjustment, RKO, attitude adjustment.
Yeah.
RKO. Attitude adjustment, RKO, attitude adjustment, RKO. It's boring to hear me talk about it, and I just thought it was boring to watch.
Right, right, right. I feel like you talked about Japanese wrestling. They do such a good job of that build in a match.
Yes.
And part of the false finish, okay, so with Cena and Orton, you know, all right, this isn't the finish.
Yeah, I knew what the first time somebody hit it, that wasn't it.
So
that would have been a better match to me.
Yeah.
Wow. He hit his finish once and it was over.
Because
it just, if you can't beat a guy, if you hit your finish on him six times and he kicks out and then you go hit somebody with it one time on Monday Night Raw, how weak does it make that guy look?
That's what I loved about the Cedric Alexander Zack Sabre match we saw at PWX. Is they had a great match. I don't remember a lot of false finishes in that match.
Right.
There were some false submission finishes. But then at the end, boom, 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 Cedric hits his finisher once and that's it.
Samoa Joe and Finn Balor did the same thing a while back. I mean, they had this great match on one of those NXT specials where it was about the first guy to hit his finish will be the guy who wins this match.
Yeah.
And they fought to hit their finish.
Right.
Which I thought was incredible, man.
Yeah.
Like, that was the story of the match, that if he hits the coup, well, as soon as he hits that coup de grace, it's over. As soon as he hits the muscle buster, it's over. And there were attempts to hit the finishing move with the other fighting out or cutting it off. And then when Balor finally hits his finishing move, it's over.
Yeah. I just felt like the booking of the Cruiserweight Classic, T.J. Perkins went from being, and I'm talking about, obviously there's circles he's known in, but as far as the worldwide typical person that subscribes to the WWE Network, they didn't know who he was, but let me tell you right now, they just booked him perfect. They booked him like Rocky. They did the Rocky booking, and oh, it was fantastic. And the lasting memory okay? And you can't. You can't teach that. You can't script it. Is here's TJ Perkins. Oh, so good. He's won the match. They present him with the belt. He has welts all over his chest.
I saw the picture of him with like the red marks all over his chest.
And he said, you know, I've been carrying this key around with me to remind me of when I was homeless. And I just decided I'm not going to carry that key with me anymore because I'm never going to be homeless again. And it was, I'm telling you, he didn't, it wasn't a hard times promo. But he cut two promos last night that I thought were, for what they were, and what they were selling it as was a UFC promo.
Right.
Just interviewing a guy after a match. And I thought it was good, and I think, man, wrestling is so good, right? I mean,
if you can't find something right. that you like right now, I mean, golly, we, you know, I don't know yeah. what to tell you. Between Lucha Underground and TNA and man, WWE and NXT and the cruiserweight stuff and the women's wrestling and the Japanese world, you know, the Japan world. I mean, just,
yeah.
God, if you can't find something you like,
you're a miserable human being.
I mean, golly.
Let me ask you this.
And then I want to mention something that we hadn't even talked about, but you go ahead.
From a personal standpoint, we were talking about false finishes and doing all these finishes. What's the response? Because you and I just did a show with Three Count, and the main event was Ken Magnum and Scott Stallion.
Mm-hmm.
And to my knowledge, I mean, Ken Magnum does the full clip DDT,
mm-hmm.
and Scott Stallion kicked out of it, and the crowd. That was really the only. I mean, because his. Anyway, but I thought you and I, as I've gone back and listened, we sold the fact no one kicks out of this move. Whereas on WWE, everybody kicks out of just about every move. Nobody, I don't right. think, has anybody kicked out of the, like the Styles Clash or anything?
Yeah.
But like, listen, yeah. I'm the only person.
Jericho kicked out, Cena kicked out.
But I'm the only person in the United States that hadn't kicked out of attitude adjustment.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's what I'm saying is I feel like sooner or later, we got to get back to the, like it was a big deal when Perkins last night kicked out of Ibushi's sit-down powerbomb, whatever they call it.
There was a match where Batista kicked out of the Tombstone Piledriver he had with Undertaker, and it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And the story that I've heard Batista tell, I mean, it's Batista's story, that was an audible that Undertaker called in the match.
Wow.
Even, like, that had not been planned. They had not talked about it beforehand. He had just earned Undertaker's respect, and Undertaker understanding that this guy at the time
right.
was going to be one of the futures of this company. How can I do something for him to help him get over? And he said he remembers in the match, Undertaker was like scooping him up, and as he's scooping him up, he tells him to kick out on two. And everybody thought that was it because nobody kicks out of the Tombstone Piledriver.
Yeah.
And Undertaker hits him, 1-2, and Batista kicks out. And the place just...
yeah.
You know, nobody was expecting. Everybody assumed that's how you do a false finish.
Yeah.
If you do it all the time,
right,
it loses its importance. But if Undertaker every once in a while lets somebody kick out of his finish, then it's a big deal.
Okay, sorry, I missed a text message about one of my daughters.
Hold on. Pause.
I can't pause. I'll have to go back and edit it. Okay. No, we're good. Just one of my daughters had to go get picked up at school, but she's fine. Just whatever. So you had something you wanted to touch on real quick.
Did you watch Delete or Decay? Have you seen it yet?
Not all the way through.
So you haven't watched it?
No.
Man, can't.
Okay. No, I have not watched it. No.
Right. That's just good, man. I mean, there's a moment when they go to the petting zoo. Did you see that?
Uh-uh.
And like, apparently this is Matt Hardy's menagerie of animals.
Uh-huh. And the kangaroo.
Jeff Hardy boxes a kangaroo, and then they go to his spot monkeys. Have you seen
No.
And he's got this thing, and it's got all these little monkeys in it, and it's like, that's Nick and Matt over there. They're about to, like, he's, it's so good, man. It's just so, this, it was one of the funniest thing. And there was like a brother Nero spot monkey, and there was a Matt Hardy spot. That's like, that was the thing. It was just kind of poking fun at that. But it was funny when he said, I caught these two are my favorites. They're Nick and Matt.
Was he doing the voice?
Oh, of course he was, man. So of course good, he was. Man. And like, they did the spot from the first one when Jeff Hardy, went into the water and he come out as Willow. Well, Abyss goes into the water and comes out as Joseph Parks.
He's
looking. He just walks out and he's not even wet. Like, I don't know. He comes up out of the water and he's not even wet. And he's like, I'm trying to find my brother Chris. Is anybody? And then they go. Then he turns back into Abyss and he brings out Janice.
Yeah.
And he goes to hit Matt Hardy with Janice, and Jeff pushes Matt out of the way and takes the shot from Janice in the stomach. And like, there's this moment when Matt kneels down and he goes, thank you for your sacrifice, Brother Nero. And it's just insane thing that I shouldn't like. But just the balls of these guys to go out and do this ridiculous thing.
Yeah.
And it works. I mean, it gets over. It's, I don't know. I like it. Yeah. It could care less what anybody else thinks about whether I like it or not. I like it.
Yeah. I think,
because it's different. I mean,
right.
It's,
one thing you're going to, if you're new to the show, one thing you're going to find out.
Mark hates Jeff Hardy.
Well, we're going to tell you what we like and what we don't like, but we're not going to tell you what you should like and what you shouldn't like.
No.
All we're going to encourage you to do is find something you like.
Yeah. Don't watch what you... Life's too short to watch bad wrestling, man. And if you don't like something, don't waste your time on it. Watch what you do like. When I heard Deleted Decay, first thing I did was go to YouTube and I pulled it up and I watched it and I sat back and laughed and it entertained me.
Yeah.
And that's all I want from wrestling. Just entertain me.
Right. Right. Mate,
I want to see it on, I hope they don't start doing it every show. I mean, I don't want to see that. But I mean, for what it was, I thought it was cool.
Yeah. And
I admire the guts to do something different and to work and make money outside WWE. I love.
So, real quick, this started out the Hardys, and now they've used this thing that really got over, the first delete thing, final deletion.
Mm-hmm.
And they've used it to get over two guys that I don't get.
Right.
But that, to me, is what wrestling's about.
Mm-hmm.
And it made sense. It's like, if you're going to do this, it makes sense to do it with Abyss and whatever the crazy...
I forget his name. Decay. And then the chick Rosemary, who spits like Great Muta. She spits the mist, and she spits it at Matt Hardy, and he opens his mouth and sucks the mist into his lungs and then spit it back at her. And it,
I heard about that, but I haven't seen it yet.
And they used the camera trick of him spitting it out.
Yeah.
And they played it in reverse.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I don't mean to go exposing the business there, but it did. It just looked like she spit it at him, and he breathed it in, and then blew it back
out. I was just thinking back to the Three Amigos. Then I found out it was all camera tricks. I never used camera tricks. No one is that fast. I am that fast. I'll prove it. Here is your gun. So, anyway, hey, Double Dropkick Show. DoubleDropKick.com is where you can get all the stuff. You can also subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn Radio app. We really need you to go on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. Not 4 stars. Not 3 stars. 5 stars. 5 stars. Even if you don't want to, you give us a 5-star review, I'll come to your house and pester you. As I am well. Don't go to Mark's house. He has a sign that says no solicitation. So,
as the door-to-door salesman found out the other day.
Yes, he did. And if you want to hear...
As I flipped his business card back at him and said, that sign means you too, pal.
But if you want to hear more stories like that that we don't share on this podcast, you can become a patron on Patreon. Patreon, patreon.com/doubledropkick. There's a link to it in the show notes, and you can support the show $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month. There's different rewards for doing that. Justin Donahue got behind-the-scenes footage from our wrestling show, things we're not going to talk about.
And I really hope Phil Donahue enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I mean, Justin Donahue.
Jonathan Dempsey. I hope he enjoyed it. Also we're on Twitter at Heath Mulliken.
At the DDK Show.
We're on Facebook. Our Facebook group is over 5,000 people. I heard that they closed another group, and we're getting a lot of people from that group. It's very strange to me, though. We'll get a request from somebody from another country.
Right.
And my first reaction is, this is a fake account. Then you click on this account, and this is a person. They've got maybe four pictures on there. They don't have a lot of posts. But one of their posts is like The Undertaker.
Right.
Like a picture that it's a picture that only a wrestling fan would put on Facebook. Right. And you're like, what in the world? And we don't discriminate against people. No. I don't care where you're from.
I think a lot of people, and I could be wrong, I think a lot of people from who are not in the United States,
yeah,
from non-English speaking countries.
Yes.
I think that, and I could be wrong, because we have listeners in foreign countries.
Yes. We have a bunch of likes on our Facebook page from foreign countries.
Right, like Malaysia and places,
yes,
like that.
Yeah.
And I really believe, and I could be wrong, but I think it's people trying to learn to speak English.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm wrong about that, but I do believe that that's what it is, and that interacting with people in the English dialect, English is something that they're trying to do.
And wrestling is a universal language.
There you go.
That's why I love wrestling.
Me too.
When I go to a wrestling show, people from all different economic backgrounds, ethnic backgrounds, cultural backgrounds, people who would not ever think about sitting next to somebody anywhere else would sit next to somebody at a wrestling show, and they would cheer for the same person, boo for the same. I mean.
And talk about wrestling, man.
Yeah.
And just talk about wrestling.
Love it. Love it. So real quick, maybe you're listening to this and you're not just a wrestling fan. Maybe you think, hey, I'd like to get into wrestling. Maybe you want to be a manager, a wrestler, a referee. Maybe you'd like to do what Mark and I do and learn the technical side of things. If you go, you can go to 3Count Pro Wrestling on Facebook, like the page. But if you email, okay, write this down. Email 3countpro@gmail.com.
That's 3countpro@gmail.com.
And or you can send me a message on Facebook. We'd love to talk with you about that. We got some great guys training now. And we're the only training academy in the upstate. And Mark and I are happy to be a part of that. I think I've said all I need to say, really.
I think so.
So, hey, for the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.